Somebody made mention of this picture when they saw that. They thought it was E.T. So I don't want you to get this picture in your head. This is God reaching down and touching us. Amen. I want you to get that visually. So, yeah, don't think about E.T., okay? We are in week 3 of our series, Untouchables. We've looked at several accounts where God reaches down and touches the untouchables. And the untouchables are people like the blind, the lame, the infirm. Yes, the sinners. When God reaches down and make room for people that we want to block out. We want to unfriend. But God makes room for these people. God gives grace to those people. So today we will study one of these untouchables. And we will study the story of the woman with the issue of blood. How many of you are familiar with this story? The title of my message, by the way, is not called The Woman with the Issue of Blood. The title of this message is called The Woman Who Touched Grace. I want you to get a different picture about this woman. I wish I could tell you her name. No one knows her name. When you read the Bible, whenever the name is not mentioned, a lot of time the person was not regarded by the writer as important. But yet again, this person is so important that 2,000 years after, we're still talking about her. And I'm sure you've read many stories about it. You've heard many sermons about this woman with the issue of blood. But today I want you to get this picture about this woman who touched grace. Who touched the grace of God. But we're not going to go straight to the scripture. I want you to turn to this to the passage. The story is found in Luke 8. Verse 43 to 48, but we're not going to go there yet. You can turn to it and stay there. But I'm going to open up the message from a different scripture. It's found in Hebrews 4:15. And if you got it in the back, our media people, if you can put that up. Hebrews chapter 4. There you go. I want us to read this together, okay? We're going to read this together on the count of three. If you don't have your Bibles, you can look at it right up here, and it's from the King James Version. Ready? One, two, three. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but we've all in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. This is the word of God. The word of God talks about a high priest that can be touched. a high priest that can be touched. Under the old covenant, under the law, the high priest could not be touched. You could not touch the high priest, lest you make that high priest unclean. You could not go in and have fellowship with the high priest. You could not go and mingle with the high priest. You could not go and interact on a regular basis with the high priest. The high priest was just a common man, just like you and I. But you could not, for ceremonial purposes, back according to the law, you could not go in and fellowship with this high priest. But the focus of this message is not about the high priest of the old covenant. The focus of this message is about a new high priest, and his name is Jesus. Here it's saying in this scripture, for we do not have a high priest under the old covenant which cannot be touched. This high priest, by the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, can be touched. Can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We're talking about a God that is 100% in touch with our feelings. Feelings matter. They do matter. We are made up in such a way that our feelings matter to God. That's how personal our God is. He's a God that can be touched because he's in touch with our feelings. The feeling of our infirmities, the feeling of our shortcomings, the feeling of our weaknesses. Boy, we do have some weaknesses, don't we? Jesus is in touch with all of it. He can 100% identify with our sinful nature. He can identify with it. He can understand it. Yet, he himself is without sin. He came on earth to fully identify himself with you and with me in our sinful nature. That's why it says there, he is in touch with the feeling of our, not his, because he does not have any infirmities. He's perfect. But yet again, he is in touch with our infirmities. This is how personal the God that we serve is. Otherwise, he would not understand what we go through. If he was totally separated from us, our sinful nature, he cannot identify. So we can come to God and say, Lord, you have no idea what it feels like to be who I am. You have no idea how it feels like to be rejected. Because he was. Because he's been through all of it, yet without sin. And because of that, yet without sin, we have verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly. Boldly. How do we come? Boldly. Not like, I don't know if he's going to hit me on the head. Come boldly, because we can identify with him being perfect. Being 100% in touch with our infirmities, so we come boldly to him, unto the throne of grace, so that we may obtain mercy. So that we may obtain mercy. Just like the lame man by the pool of mercy. The pool of Bethesda. The pool of mercy. The church. The house of mercy. So he says, when you come in to the throne of grace, you obtain mercy. And guess what else you find when you come in to the throne of God's grace? You find grace to help in time of need. So whenever you're in a time of need, you boldly approach the throne of grace, where you obtain mercy and even more grace to help in time of need. Once you enter the boldly into that throne room, you can touch him. You can touch perfection. You can touch the fullness of God. You can touch the unconditional love of God. Once you enter in boldly, you can touch him. So I want you to get this picture, because as we read this story about this woman who touched grace, I want you to know that she entered in to the throne room of grace first. Grace has a name. Grace has a name. His name is Jesus. You cannot separate the two. You cannot talk about Jesus without talking about grace. And you cannot talk about grace without talking about the name that is above all other names. You cannot separate the two. They go hand in hand. You cannot talk about unconditional love of God leaving Jesus out. He's the persona of unconditional love. He's the persona of grace himself. You cannot separate the two. For God so loved people, broken people, people that were sinners, people that were untouchable, for God so loved them that he gave his only son. This is the whole entire message about what we talk about week in, week out. We cannot leave Jesus out of anything. We cannot leave the grace of God out of anything. If it is not the grace of God that is being preached, we are wasting our time. Because God so loved the world, the sinners, the world, the untouchables, that he gave his only son, that whomsoever would embrace him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why we're here, church. That's why we preach this message. It's because of the grace of God. A lot of time we want to leave that out, because if we dilute it so much, if we present grace so much, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. We will not fulfill the greatest commission that we've been given. For God so loved the world that he gave, so we must give as well. Grace and mercy must flow first. Then the cleaning comes after. Then the discipling comes after. Then the structure of who you are comes after. Who God has designed you to become will come after. But you got to know that you've been saved just the way you are first. That his love is unconditional, not based on anything, but you just approaching that throne of grace and said, Jesus, would you take me just as I am? But I know, Lord, that your love is much greater than leaving me just the way I am. You want to take me someplace. You want to make my life, take the broken pieces of my life and make it your masterpiece. It's only grace of God can do this, can pick up all these broken pieces of our lives and make something beautiful out of it. You leave out grace, all you see is brokenness without hope of any restoration, without hope of salvation, without hope of living eternally with Jesus. Amen. Now this woman, I'm reading verse 43, Luke 8. It says, now a woman having a flow or issue of blood for 12 years, who had spent a whole livelihood on physicians, doctors, and could not be healed by any. For 12 years, she's dealt with this issue. 12 years dealing with issue of blood. Issues could be many things. Many things. Could be our brokenness. Could be our pain, our broken lives, the pieces of our life that we are trying to figure out what to do with it. It did not come with a manual on how to put the pieces together. We've been given the Word of God, and many of us don't know how. I certainly did not know how when I became a Christian. I had the Word, but I did not know how to piece the broken pieces together. How can God make something good out of my brokenness? I had issues to deal with. I had to rely on the grace of God to get me where I need to be. Issues could be things that are going inside of us that we don't want anybody else to know about. Because you see, people are not very comfortable with broken pieces. People are not very comfortable with broken pieces. So when we come to church, guess what we want to show? Perfection. We want to show that everything is pieced together. But deep inside what we're dealing with, if we really want to be honest, there's a lot of broken pieces. Pieces that probably we don't want to admit. We don't want to talk about. But yet again, those broken pieces are there. They might be in the dark. They might be unseen by everybody else because we want to present ourselves so that we are accepted by everybody else as all put together. No issues here. It's all good. I'm all smiles. I'm not dealing with anything. People are just not very comfortable with brokenness. Probably because they don't know how to handle the broken pieces. When you ask the question to somebody, how are you doing? How are you doing today, Peter? You're asking the question probably not wanting Peter to share his brokenness. Because I probably don't know how to handle Peter's brokenness. I'm expecting Peter to come to me and say, it's all good. I'm good. But what if Peter comes and says, well, Pastor Shannon, let me be honest with you. Let me tell you a little bit of what I'm struggling with. Let me share my broken pieces to you. Let me share my issues, what I'm going through. What would we do as a church if we have that level of honesty? Think about it for a minute. We are all broken at some point in time, right? We're probably here still dealing with brokenness over something that happened, over life, over circumstances, over different situations that are happening in our lives that we probably don't know how to handle these things, and we are desperately seeking a way in to the throne room of grace. And we're trying to find a way to get in, to be accepted, to be welcomed by this God of grace. But we're not very comfortable being so open about that kind of level of brokenness to anybody, and rightfully so, because many are not able to handle the brokenness of others, let alone themselves, their brokenness. But God loves the broken pieces. In fact, when he sees you from the beginning to the end, and everything in between. Let me tell you something. You probably never thought about it that way. The broken pieces, they are valuable to God. The broken pieces are essential to the masterpiece that he wants to make. A lot of time when we want to see our life, we want to see our lives as the final product, don't we? We want to see the destination, but we want to bypass the journey. We don't want the journey. Because when we look at the journey, we see the pain, the trials that are on the journey. We just want to get there. But God needs the journey to get something to us, to better equip us, to sharpen us, to give us more grace so that we can change to be like him. So the purpose of grace when we come in and we touch grace is to receive a big gush of grace at one time. But then you have to come back in, and day out. Every single day of the week, you walk in to that same throne room of grace so that you may obtain mercy and even more grace in time of need. So in this instant, this woman that has been dealing with the broken pieces of our lives for 12 years. Can you imagine 12 years in a row dealing with the same problem? I mean, you know, I start the year, I'm like, you know, Lord, bring me a new demon. Bring me a new problem. But don't let me deal with the same problem over and over and over again for 12 years. At least let me deal with a brand new one every year. You know, I mean, when you really think about it, you don't want to be dealing with the same thing over and over and over and over again. She's been dealing with this same problem for 12 years in a row. It's not like she's not trying to find a solution to the problem. She's not comfortable with the problem, by the way, because she spent everything on getting better. If she was comfortable with dealing with her issues, she would have stayed at home. She'd say, you know what, I'm good under the law. The law says I must stay at home. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay at home. I don't need any friends because I'm an untouchable. I can't even approach the high priest. If I go in and approach the high priest, I touch him, I defile the high priest. I can't go have fellowship with my friends because guess what, if I go and have fellowship with my friends, I will defile my friends. She can't even have a relationship with people. Can you imagine that level of solitude that this woman has gone through? She could not have friends. She could not invite friends over. She loves to cook, but she eats all alone. There's nothing worse than cooking and eating all by yourself. I like to cook. I like to bring people over. I like to feed them. I like for them to ask for seconds and thirds. And I like to see the smile on their face. I like to see that. I like to see them wanting more. But she could not even have that. She had a life of solitude all by herself because of the brokenness that she had, not just for 1 year, but 12 years in a row. 12 years. 12 years of brokenness. She spent everything to get better. Her whole livelihood was gone. She emptied every bank account that she had just to get better. She needed a special touch from a physician. Luke was a doctor. Luke gave a great account on this, but yet again could not bring a healing to her. I believe many of you are here this morning needing. You did not come here to listen to me. Although that makes me feel good that you're here to listen to me. I hate speaking to people. I've done it for a few months, speaking to chairs, but you know, thank you, Jesus, we passed that point. Here you are. You're not here to listen to me. You're here to enter this throne of grace yourself. You're here to touch Jesus. At least that's what I'm hoping you're here for. You're here to touch the hem of his garment. You're here to ask Jesus to somehow make sense out of all these broken pieces you've been juggling for a long time. That's why you're here. You're here to have an encounter with grace himself. And guess what? You're not going to leave this place without touching him first. In fact, you're going to refuse to go home after this message is over until you've received what you came here for. But you need to be honest with yourself, with a brokenness that only you would know. You need to know that. You don't need to go home again dealing with the same brokenness that you walked in with. Now's the time to get better. Now's the time for God to say, let me have those broken pieces. Let me put it together for you. You are not meant to carry any weight. It's Jesus' job to do it for you. He bears the load for you. He carries the weight for you. Your infirmities, he totally understands it. We just read it. He says he's in touch with it. He doesn't want you to hold on to it. He said, let me have it. Let me have all the broken pieces. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Let me have all of it, and I will make a masterpiece. The second part of this story is, she came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately, her flow of blood stopped. Immediately, she got healed. I love this. When you approach that throne room of grace, and immediately you receive your breakthrough. Immediately. That's the type of God that we serve. An immediate kind of God. When you come in and suddenly there's a move of God. And suddenly God is able to change your world around and restore everything that the enemy has stolen. It does not need to be a little bit at a time. God can work on the miraculous level more than what you and I can ever, ever imagine. That moment when she came in and she touched the hem of the garment, she was made whole. She came from behind. She came from behind because that's the only way she can come out publicly. She could not come out publicly. She could not be seen in public, and certainly not when there's a crowd around. She had to come out, probably in disguise, where nobody would recognize her. She came from behind because she was untouchable. If ever she was caught outside, she could have been stoned to death. That was the culture back then. Can you imagine that same kind of culture here? Where you could not come out when you were broken. You had to be put aside. They had to find a special room for you. A little padded room. Put you in there, lock you up for a little bit. And said, you cannot come out until you're better. But Jesus works out the other way around. You come in and you get better. You come on out and you get better. God cleans you and I from the inside out. He comes in and fills you with grace, with his healing power. And then you start seeing the manifestation of that same level of grace that you've been given on the outside. Because you've been given that same grace, you are able now to extend grace to somebody else. You are now able to extend mercy to somebody else. That is the gospel of Jesus. Because you've been given much. And you must give much. to the point where you can even lose your reputation for extending grace and mercy. Sometimes it's a risk that you take when you do extend grace and mercy. But Jesus took a big risk on me. I don't want to hold back. He took a big chance on me because I was broken beyond repair. But he pieced me together. And he said, I've made you into this masterpiece. Now go do the same to somebody else. When you've been given that level of grace, guess what? You must show that level of grace to somebody else. It's like, how dare do I hold back? Because I've been given much. I need to be giving out much, much more than what God has given to me. A broken piece, a broken vessel, something that was meant for the trash. God made something good out of me. That's the way I see my life. That's the way that I see myself. The journey that I've been on, it's been broken. It was never meant to be that glorious at the end. But yet again, God saw it fit to do something good out of nothing. That is grace. That is grace. She knew she was untouchable, but she came from behind. And she saw grace passing by. Many of you could have been coming from behind. In fact, many of you probably were thinking that I'm not even meant to be alive today. There have been many situations in my life where that would have been it. But here I am. I'm here by the grace of God. I'm here because I refuse to quit. Even when it was easy to quit the faith. Even when it was easy to just say, you know what, I just don't want to compromise. I love my family, my friends way too much because this is asking so much out of me. There's a price to be paid for the grace that we've been given. There's a price to be paid for it. My family and I, when we came from a Hindu background, there was a price to be paid. There was a price to be paid. It wasn't like in the Western society when you walk in and you walk here, you receive Jesus and everything is just, you know, unnoticeable. You can actually just go on with your life. In different kind of culture, different kind of society, there was a price to be paid for the name of Jesus. At the end, it's beautiful, but the journey is meant to challenge you, to show you that you need grace and you need mercy because you're always in a time of need, always in a time of need when you need to run to the feet of Jesus. So the woman came from behind determined. And motivated, she pressed through a crowd. I want you to picture this. There was a lot of people around. People that probably could recognize her. But she had to come in from behind and press through a crowd to touch the hem of Jesus. She was persistent. In her faith. She was motivated to receive a healing. Are we that kind of motivated for God to piece together the broken pieces? Are we just happy or content to deal with it? Say, you know what? Nobody sees it. What's the harm? Let me carry this for maybe one more year. Maybe one more week, at least one more week. I'll be back next week. Maybe there might be a different message. Guess what? The message next week is still going to be about the same thing. You're not going to get away. You're going to come back next week. You're still going to hear the same message of grace being extended to pull you out, to compel you to come out of darkness, to compel you to say, I'm broken. I need fixing. That is the grace of God. So she came out of darkness and she touched the hem of Jesus. I want you to get close enough to God today. Close enough so that you can touch Him. Don't leave here without touching Jesus. Don't leave here without touching the grace of God. And Jesus said in verse 45, who touched me? Isn't that crazy? There's thousands of people out there. Remember, she had to press through a crowd. She had to come from behind to reach Jesus because there's so many people around Jesus. And Jesus said, who touched me? They all denied it. Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitude thronged and pressed you. And you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me. For I perceived power going out from me. Hundreds of people around Jesus, but only one touched Jesus. See, I'm not talking about rubbing shoulders with somebody. I'm not talking about, well, I came to church. I was sitting there on the second row, third row, fourth row. I came to church. Check. I'm talking about somebody who came in and actually recognize the brokenness, recognize that there are broken pieces that needs to be put together, recognize that there is such a thing as a throne of grace, recognize all of this and said, I am not going to go home without first going in. So Jesus recognized that there was somebody who entered in. She recognized that it was hundreds of people around that saw Jesus marvel at his ministry and everything that they've heard, they saw. They saw people getting healed. They saw the lame man walk. They saw blind Bartimaeus see again. They've seen the miracle. They marvel at all of that. But none of them touched Jesus. Like this woman here. She said, 12 years is enough. Grace is passing by. I'm coming in from behind. I am not going to go home without first getting in and have a face-to-face encounter with Him. I'm going to go and touch Him. If I get killed, so be it. But I'm pressing in and I'm touching God before I go home. She risked a life to do this. And Jesus said, I perceive power. The word power is dunamis. That's where we get the word dynamite. Jesus felt that coming out. Because that woman touched grace. Immediately she was healed. And Jesus stopped everything. Jesus could have just kept walking. Somebody touched me. Hey, somebody touched me. Received healing. Boom, done. I'll keep going. Because he was on a mission. He was going to heal somebody. Jairus' daughter. That's what he was being called to. But on the way there, on his journey, he had to stop. And he turned around and he saw her. She wanted to be unseen. She just wanted to receive what she came here for and then just go home. But Jesus stopped everything and recognized her in front of everybody. 12 years she's dealt with this. 2,000 years later, we are still talking about that same woman. Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Go with my shalom. Go with my grace. Because you're going to need this grace again tomorrow. Because we don't know about tomorrow from that story. We don't know what kind of pieces that she had that were broken in her life that had to be put together still. She received her healing, but what about the relationships that were broken as a result of what she dealt with for 12 years? Guess what she did? Any guess what she did? She came boldly unto the throne room of grace, and she obtained mercy, and she found grace to help her in time of need. She went all the way back to Hebrews again. She went all the way back to Hebrews again, recognizing that this same grace that was extended to her for her to receive a breakthrough, she needed that same grace again the next day. To live a life that was called a masterpiece by this man, that this God who healed her, who made her whole after 12 years, but she needed that same grace to keep going. You and I, we need that same grace to keep going. Because we cannot go without the grace, the empowerment of God to do what he's called you and I to do. We cannot do church without the grace of God. You cannot be a father without the grace of God. I cannot be a dad, a husband without the grace of God. The grace of God is the empowerment of God to do what is called you and I to do. That's why we cannot leave grace out of anything that we do. It is the empowerment to do God's will. That's also where we receive that word. It's called charis in the Greek. It means an empowerment. An empowerment to do what God has called you and I to do it. Because God knew that without his grace, we can't do it. But he's given us the grace, the ability to do it. Not in our strength, not in our might. But in his power, his grace. In fact, when we come to Jesus, showing day after day, Lord, I need your help. I am weak in this area, Lord. Could you please show me how to handle this? I'm not very patient with this person, Lord. This person gets on my nerve. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm not the only one who deals with stuff like that. But when I run in to that throne room of grace, I receive grace so that I can extend grace to that same person that gets on my nerves. So I'm able to actually extend grace to that person and say, it's okay. It's not a big deal. I can handle you. Because my God is much bigger than this situation that we're dealing with. So the moral of this story is this. Don't let Jesus pass you by without reaching in to that throne room and touching him. Because many of us, we can actually just see church stuff.
starting at 10:30 and finishing at right before 12, and already thinking about what we're going to have for lunch, and what are we going to be going out to do, the weather's beautiful, and get through the motion of church without coming in to that throne room of grace and receive more grace in time of need. Amen. Would you please stand? I thank God for grace that is given to me to deliver this message this morning. I believe if it wasn't the Holy Spirit who gave me the ability to actually bring in this message, I would not have been able to do it. Grace makes me diminish. Grace makes me humble. Grace makes me recognize how weak I am. Because I've talked a lot about the grace as giving me the power, but grace also humbles us, because grace shows me that I'm not perfect. It's that same grace that attracts me to Jesus. It's attractive, because I know I'm weak. Because of my weakness, I'm attracted to Him, the perfection. But if I thought of myself as I'm all that, I've arrived, I'm good, the opposite would happen. I would repel that grace. But the more I see myself as, I can't do it without you, Lord, I attract even more grace. That's where the power is, church. The power is through humility. The power is through serving. That's why you can serve in church day in, day out, and you still got a smile on your face. You're still able to do it and to go above and beyond and lead people to God, because you're not doing it in your own strength. You're doing it in the strength of God. For you fathers that are out there, you cannot do it in your own strength. You cannot be a good husband in your own strength. You need the grace of God to do it right, to be a good father, to be a good husband, to be a good employee, to be a good citizen, to be a good neighbor, to be a good friend, to be a good church member. You need the grace of God. Because you're in a place where you deal with people, and people will get on your nerves. Don't check out when people get on your nerves. Do you check out of your family when somebody rubs you the wrong way? You run to the throne room of grace, and you say, Jesus, I'm weak in that area. Help me. Help me get better. Help me do it right. Father, we need more grace. We need more of you. We need more of you now than ever before. pour your Holy Spirit in all of us today. Equip us. Anoint us. Let us not leave this place without touching the hem of your garment. Let us not leave this place putting a checkbox that we've attended church this week. Let us enter this throne room of grace and touch you. Grace himself. I believe God can touch you right where you are. But there is such a thing. There is such a thing as you coming out and making your way from a crowd and coming and being recognized by no one here, but by God himself. I don't want you to leave this place without being prayed for. Many of you dealing with situations and brokenness, don't leave this place broken. This is the house of mercy. This is the house of grace. Where else would you go and get fixed when you're broken? Where else would you run to when you need God to show you how to get this breakthrough? You've been staying awake all night, thinking about the problems that you're dealing with, thinking about the situation. How is that going to work out, Lord? Don't leave this place without touching the hem of his garment, without touching Jesus himself. So, church, if you are a father today, here, I want you to come forward. Come forward to the altar. We're not going to do anything crazy. We're just going to pray. We're just going to believe God, that God will actually empower us to do what he's called us to do. Because we are recognizing that we cannot do it by ourselves. That's it. I'm just like you guys. Because I can't do it by myself anymore. I need his grace. Whichever you're comfortable, want to raise your hand, you can raise your hand. But I'm praying that in the name of Jesus, you will receive dunamis. You will receive power. You're going to receive his fresh anointing to do what is called you to do. I see better fathers right here. I see better husbands right here. I see better friends. You coming out, meaning that you've entered into the throne room of grace right here, right now. And Jesus himself is passing by. And I see you reaching and touching him now in Jesus' name. Those that are behind, I want you to stretch your hands forth. These are the mothers, the ladies, and the young ones. As a church, we need the support of a whole family to be better, because we are better together. We have a spirit of family, a spirit of community in this place. We need you. We need you to pull together as a family. Because when we are weak, we need others so we can count on. We need others that can sharpen us to help us to be better. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, that you will raise helpers. You will raise people in this church to assume the role that you have for them, Lord God. I see other leaders in this church. I see other leaders that are going to rise up and take ownership of a position, of a place to occupy. A place where God has called you to serve. Where you're going to grow. As you serve, God will empower. God will impart. God will anoint. God will provide. As you serve, you're going to see the masterpiece unfolding in your life. As you are planted in the house of the Lord, the word says you will flourish. You will flourish and you will bear fruits, much fruits. And get this, even in your old age. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I just wanted to say, if you say, along the lines of Pastor's message, if you say, hey, I feel broken. I feel broken in a million trillion pieces. Maybe no one knows. Maybe they do. It doesn't even matter. But you say, I don't know if I can see that God can take those million broken pieces and put it back together. I don't know if I can see that right now. If that's you, we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to cover you, wrap our arms around you, and pray for you that you would be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, that you'd be able to see that God is going to make something beautiful out of what you might think is broken, or what you might think is trash or ashes, that he will make something beautiful. So if you say, hey, I've got broken pieces and I want some prayer, I want some covering, I want to be able to have that joy and just that peace in knowing that he's covering me, we would love to cover you in prayer. So, men, you're welcome to stay up if you'd like. But if there's anyone else that would like prayer, say, hey, I just want some extra covering for those broken areas. We'd love to cover you right now.
Hallelujah. If you're here, you got any kind of prayer that you want us to pray for, I want you to stay here or come to the front.